Amen. That was great. Thank you very much. Now, wait, we can't have all the blessings at one time, brother. I say we can't have all the blessings at one time.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. All right. I'd like to invite our brother, Dr. Yanga, whose daughter played for us this morning, and whose son also helps us here in the ministry. Dr. Yanga is a physician over in Howell, and he's connected with a very important ministry in the Philippines. Please, Brother Dr. Yanga. Thank you so much for coming tonight. You'll realize that great things come in small packages.
Amen.
I might be small, but sometimes with the power of the Lord, I could do great things. Thank you. Well, I'm not going to bore you because that's what Dr. Saki usually do. When he comes, you go. And that's what I do. I respond to my pastor, and that's the power. And that's what the Great Commission is about. Go ye to all nations. Go. And the power is on him. And I was telling them, I just finished presenting the crash for the Philippines to two places. And said, that is the power of the Lord. Power. But did you ever think about the power of the Lord? And I used this small atom being held together. What happened when you split the atom? Atom bomb, nuclear power. Did you ever think about that? When they split the atom, that's the beginning of the nuclear age. They use the power. That's one atom, but we are made up of different atoms. And I just don't know how a person could not believe in God. I just want to report on the crash for the Philippines. I'm sorry, Dr. Sack, that I was not able to be here because there was a conflict. He told me to present the crash for the Philippines, and I was presenting it to the different churches too. They're both successful, and thank you for the prayers. I just got an email from Pastor Alparaque. The building of the Gimbal Church is there going. And there were 14 churches already, and there are more than 14 ordained pastors. Six of them are independent already. And I think Dr. Sachs, our budget is much less than Pelsic Bible, but we have the ministry on the radio, 12 station, and in fact, they just won one of the top 10 competing with the commercial, one of the top 10. And the radio ministry is at 5 in the morning. And that's all what it is. Well, I know you know what it is. And pray for David, and he's sick, got the flu. And he pastor was asking me what they're doing. I said, I prayed, I'm a doctor. I treat them, and God heals them. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Let's sing another hymn, please. 653. 653. So send I you. Let's stand and sing two verses of this hymn, please. 653. So send I you to labor just reward and to serve unpaid, unburdened on the throne, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to talk for me alone, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. The last verse, please. So send I you to hearts that made their hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, You saved the way. He brought the earth to stand on. He sent on you to taste of Calvary. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Thank you. You may be seated. We've had 5 missionaries this week. One left us early on, but the Framptons came to help us in the last part of this week. But we still have Brother Lee Buehr and Brother Terry Thompson, and also our Brother Frampton. I wonder, have you people heard anything from Carol Thompson? You did hear. When?
This morning in Sunday school and after coffee.
All right. How many have not heard Carol Thompson? A lot of people. Where is she? In the nursery. Oh, my. Could somebody go and catch her? In the meantime, Brother Terry, would you give us a little word? Thank you. Could somebody go up and catch her? Thank you.
Her father's a preacher, so she's the best of the two, I assure you that. My father was a farmer and logger. On our back table there, we have a little brochure where we put our little extended doctrinal statement, but something we improved on as well, I believe, is our purpose statement as a mission. I'll just read it. Our purpose is to glorify God by serving the sending churches through helping their missionaries establish reproducing churches through evangelism, discipleship, and leadership development in Latin America. Just draw attention to that one word, reproducing churches. And we may not have done it as well as we should have for the first 80 years of our mission since 23, but we want to make sure that our churches, when they're established now, know that their goal is to continue reproducing and strawberrying out and establishing new churches. Another thing we added on this pamphlet on the back side is core values. And I just want to read those core values. A passion for proclaiming biblical truth in Latin America. A passion for serving Bible-believing churches. A passion for reaching lost people as God has a passion for the lost. A passion for building an international team. A passion for upholding doctrinal purity. A passion for submitting to the holiness of God, which motivates biblical separation. A passion for administrating all of our resources with integrity. A passion for reflecting the excellence of God. A passion for exhibiting love to others through hospitality. This is strange, but it's ours. It belongs to our mission, because this is what Gospel Mission of South America values, are these core values. And of course, there's a doctrinal statement in there as well, and which tells what we believe as well. But I just share that with you because I'm so thankful to work with a group of men and women who have values, core values that they desire to glorify God and to spread the gospel, that the lost might be saved, that they accept an international team. We have now missionaries from Spain, from the UK, from Scotland, from Ireland, Northern Ireland, from the United States, from Germany, from Switzerland, from Chile, from Uruguay. We all serve under one banner, under one doctrinal statement, and with one purpose. And that's our goal. We make no distinction between wherever people come from, as long as they believe the same and have the same goals in life. And Pastor Sachs, would you like my wife to come up here?
That would be fine. So then she can go back to nursing. Is that what you
Carol, mean? Would you like to come up here at this time?
Come on,
time?
Carol. We got to hear how the nurse serves the Lord. Besides the nursery.
I think that's where I serve the best. No, it's been a real joy to be back at Fellowship Bible. We were trying to figure out, I think it's been at least 4 years since we were here. And I was a nurse at one time. I don't claim to be one anymore. But the Lord used nursing to keep me on track for the mission field. And I just praise the Lord for the opportunities He's given us over these years to serve in different areas. And as I've mentioned to several of you here, most of us don't like changes in our lives. We like to be comfortable where we are. But the Lord's kept us moving around, because I've learned that when I'm comfortable, then I think I can do this job. And the Lord says, yes, you're doing it in your own strength. And so He moves us to a place where it's an entirely different job, different responsibilities. And the only way I know I can do it is with the Lord's help. And I just praise the Lord that, as that song goes, through every change, in every change, He faithful will remain. And I can truly say the Lord has been faithful to us, whether it's on the mission field in Chile, in church planting, in the islands, on the boat, Santiago, a city of 6 million people, in the office in Fort Lauderdale, in Uruguay, Argentina. The Lord has been faithful, and I'm just so thankful that even though we fail many times and don't trust as we should, that He faithful remains in every situation.
Amen. Thank you so
much. Prayer for your three children.
Oh, yes. The Lord has given us three children, and the Lord's been faithful in that, too. And they're all three. One of our oldest son and his wife have just arrived in Uruguay for their first term of ministry. And our other two children are on deputation right now, headed back to Chile, South America. And I can truly say it's the Lord's grace that's done it. As parents, we've made many mistakes, but the Lord has brought Chilean young pastors alongside of our children and worked with them. And the Lord's just been very faithful, and we're so thankful for that. So you can pray for our children that as they begin their ministry, as they're in the sometimes difficult stage of deputation, raising support, that they will not lose their focus, and that they've already seen the Lord provide for them, and they've seen the Lord's faithfulness. So just continue to pray for them, that they will remain faithful to the Lord, and in the Lord's time, they will arrive on the field.
Did you send it to Northland?
Yes. All three went to Northland Baptist Bible College, and they met their mates there. Our oldest son married a Christian school teacher's daughter. Our daughter married a pastor's son, and our youngest son, Dan, whom some of you remember, he traveled with us a couple times, ate Pastor Sachs out of house and home.
Boy, you're right.
He married a missionary daughter from France, so she's having to learn Spanish now instead of French, but we just praise the Lord for them. Seven grandchildren and one more on the way due in end of May.
Praise the Lord. How's Grandpa doing?
He's married to a grandma, that's all.
Let me just share a couple of verses here in closing with you. And these are verses I gave to my son recently for his commissioning service. One of them is 2 Chronicles 14:11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against Thee. And that verse of Scripture was our theme song when I graduated from Bible school. In Thy name we go. And I can testify that every time I ever got in a pickle in the mission field, sometimes with authorities against the gospel stopping the Lord's work, I claim that short phrase, in Thy name we go. And certainly it's God's work. Can He not deliver? Is He not able to do that, the Lord God of Elijah? And over and over again, the Lord is victorious and He overcomes. And that's a wonderful verse for me. I would never go and be a missionary if I did not have that promise from the Lord. In Thy name we go. And He certainly goes before us, and He's a God who is able. He has the king's heart in His hand. He can turn it any way He wants it, and He's able. The second verse I want to share with you is in Exodus 32 and verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And this verse reminds me to not grow impatient with the Lord. and to wait for His timing, wait for Him to do the work, wait for His timing and all the deal, and not to get impatient when He doesn't give the results that I require. Because the people of Israel made a big mistake there. They didn't wait on the Lord. They got impatient with God. And I think most of us are tempted to be impatient with God because our timetables are not met. And I'd just like to encourage you, don't make the mistake that the Israelites made on that day and got impatient with the Lord God. God had it all planned out perfectly. He knew what He was doing. He had His timetable right, but they became impatient with the Lord. Now, I tend to be impatient as well, and the Lord saved me from that, that I might always wait upon the Lord and trust in Him and His timetables. I serve Him. I'd just like to encourage you once again to, if the Lord would call you to serve with GMSA in South America, we would be glad to facilitate you into that ministry. We're serving local churches and sending their missionaries out to establish and reproducing churches in Latin America. And that's our goal. And I'll just say this for this family, Frankton family that's with us with five children. We don't have any limit on that on children, because we have seen that as well, how a family can be such a blessing in the ministry. And children open doors and can minister with their parents. And we're all for families serving the Lord together and giving an example for the believers. And just if the Lord leads you, if the Lord should burden your heart to join us, be by all means, contact us, and we're looking for 100 new workers to serve in those countries. Thank you.
Tell me just a minute, brother. Where'd you go to school?
I went to school at Prairie Bible Institute when Mr. L.E. Maxwell was still teaching up there. And I'd be very honest with you right now. I would not recommend that school for training for missions. And I'll tell you why. It's because they changed their stand on discipline, and they no longer have required discipline there in the school. And I know from experience that on the mission field, when an American or a Canadian comes into a foreign country, he needs to be willing to remember he's a visitor in that land. And he needs to have discipline to realize the customs and culture of that country that he's working in. And if he's going to always do his own thing, he's going to smell like an ugly American. And discipline is a very important step in life. I know we don't like it. I don't like discipline either. But a school that does not train young people in discipline, to me, is not training them for the mission field. You need highly disciplined men and women that are willing to put their own personal preferences to one side and pay any cost it takes to become as much like the culture they can, the people that God sent them to. So I thank God for Prairie Bible Institute, Mr. Maxwell, and we have some wonderful teachers, Mr. Douglas, who served in the Orient, and wonderful men of God. I think it was a great start. And I continue to study, continue to learn, continue to be in the Word. And but thank God, too, Pastor Sachs, that God raises up other schools.
That's right.
And He raises up other schools. Would you believe it? Our children went to Northland. We got up there one time for one of their graduations, and we ran into these other kids, and guess what? Their parents went to Prairie with us as well, but they all sent their kids to Northland the same way. And just the Lord raises up another school. I don't know what the future may be. Northland in the future will not be a school we'll recommend. I have no idea which way it will go. And God uses men to teach and train people. I told somebody here that those that went through Grace Seminary when our brother wrote the Genesis Flood.
Yeah. John Whitcomb.
Yeah. Whitcomb, when he was there, I run into those men all over, and you know what? They're all marked. They're all marked. They believe in creationism, and they believe in God. They believe in the Word of God, and they marked him. I tell you, we have that problem on the mission field. We need Bible Institute teachers. We need men who will train pastors, and we need men who will leave a mark, a man of God mark on those new pastors. that will see them through their whole career. You've all been marked that are part of this church by Pastor Sachs. I can tell you that you would not believe how you've been marked. But we need men and women to go and leave a mark on people's lives down there too. People know if you believe the Bible or not.
Yeah.
They know it. They know it instinctively that you have if you have an utter confidence in the Word of God or not. You can't believe what the effect that has on people's life. They know if you believe in a Genesis creation. They know if you believe in the flood. They know those things. And it's just a difference between faith and a lack of faith. What a change it makes in life. So we are definitely looking for workers that will go and establish, preach the gospel and establish local churches that are reproducing, that are missionary-minded, to reach out to other parts of the world as well.
Amen. If you have not read it, get hold of the book, Born Crucified, by L.E. Maxwell. He was the president at Prairie Bible Institute, the man of whom our brother is speaking. Born Crucified. I had many opportunities to be in Bible conferences along with him. He was a very godly man, and I commend him to your careful consideration and prayer. Let's just pray for our brother, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for our brother Terry Thompson and his wife Carol, for their faithfulness unto Thee through the many years that we've known them. And we thank Thee for bringing them to our conference this year. And we ask our dear Heavenly Father to provide for their children, so that they too may go to the field to serve Thee and raise up men and women, even some amongst us, Lord, who will say, I'll go and be a part of the gospel mission of South America to proclaim the Lord Jesus amongst the millions there who need to hear. Oh, God, hear our prayer, we pray. Thank Thee for the opportunity to pray also for Brother Yanga and the work of the Christ for Philippines mission, and cause that to be a faithful witness for Christ. We ask in Jesus' name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I wonder if we could have the kids again, please. Well, maybe the father's going to play for them this time. Do we need a PA system here, please? Anna, take this.
Stand in front of the mic so we can hear you.
Jesus.
Say something.
Thank you very much for having us this week. It's been such a blessing to be here. Thank you, ladies, especially for all the meals and just for all your hospitality. The Lord's been so good to us. We went to South Africa not knowing what to expect, and to be honest, I was a little bit scared about going there, but the Lord did exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, and we just loved it there. The children loved it. We got to serve the Lord as a family, and we just thank the Lord for the opportunities that He gave us there, and we just ask your prayers for us as we're in a new ministry now, that the Lord would direct our paths. Thank you.
In Afrikaans, Pertmandela? Yeah, there are some Afrikaans people over there. In Afrikaans, Pertmandela? All right. Thank you very much, Jim. Yeah. Brother? You know, Brother Marlon Hall and his wife?
Yes, I do. Amen. Now we do. We've eaten a lot there. Amen. And great food, too. But it was really good to fellowship with them. And I didn't know there was anybody the other day. I said, Akshem up here. And they picked right up on that, brother. But I thank the Lord for what He's done in our lives and being in South Africa. And then now the Lord has changed our direction, and He's allowing us to come here to serve as the General Director of the International Board of Jewish Missions. We love the mission field. We love being on the forefront out there. And it was quite a decision to come back. It took us about a year to decide this. But we truly believe this is of God, and God has shown His hand strong in this. And we thank the Lord for being able to come. IBJM. We just want to tell you that in the summertime we have a what's called a four-day focus, and it's the first week in August, and for 4 days we would provide housing there, and just what we try to do is focus on Jewish evangelism around the world. And for anyone who might be interested in finding out more about what's being done to reach Jewish people around the world and the need of what needs to be done here in the United States and abroad, I invite you to get information on that. I could give that to you, and I think you'd find it a great blessing. In 1996, Mary and I went to one of these, and God used it in a tremendous way in our life. And I tell you what He used it. He used it in this way. We really saw that this was a field where there weren't near enough workers as there is for the whole world, but really, and we saw this and we began to pray. And at that time, several other families did, and we all came together, and we went to South Africa, and God directed our path. You say, would God open up the doors among the Jewish people there? He certainly will. Anywhere that He sends you, He opens up the door, and we praise the Lord for it. I wish I could transport some of the Jewish folk that are in the church there in Johannesburg. I was looking so much for some time when Dr. Miss Sachs would be come there, who knows, and be able to come to the church where Peter and Andrina are and see some of those Jewish folk that the Lord has brought in. And sorry?
Baka Vicky. Yes, I say wait a little bit.
Okay. See, we was over there working in the Jewish community. My Afrikaans is not good, so but anyway, that'd be great. So it's just never a waste serving the Lord, and I praise the Lord for that. I want to give one scripture out of Mark, that's all, and just a comment on this. Mark chapter 14, verse number 9. and just a great blessing to me. As you turn there, let me just say that it is a great blessing to serve the Lord as a family. I would encourage the younger people that hears me, and maybe even the ones that are not married yet. When you get married and you have young children, if God opens up the door for you to go and you really believe God wants you to go, don't think you have to wait till the children get older or they have to get through school or whatever, or their education would suffer. You know what? We thought that going there, that the music education was really going to suffer because we didn't think we'd be able to find good teachers there for the music. And we found the most incredible teachers there for their music. And we praise God for that. But let me tell you something. The world needs a picture. The world needs a picture of Christ in the church. And you might not even be really good at what you do necessarily and stumble around. But let me tell you something. God can use you as a picture on some field to show what God can do through and with somebody. You understand what I'm saying? And so I hope that if God's speaking your heart, you'll go and serve the Lord at the time He tells you to do it. Because timing is so important. Let me read this and I'll give this. In verse number 9, the Bible says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached." This is in Mark chapter 14, verse number 9. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Of course, this is talking about Mary and when she came and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with the alabaster box, and she broke and it poured over his head, and she anointed his head with the precious ointment. And you know, there was a lot of criticism in this particular verse here, because it said in verse number 4, it said, "Now there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was the waste of this ointment made?" And some people would try to tell you that if you just go ahead and say, "God, I want to give everything to you and go ahead and just pour myself out for you," that it would be a waste. But it's not a waste. It's never a waste. It's never a waste. The most precious things that we have in life, number one, time. Time is so precious. And it's never a waste to go ahead and pour out your time on the things of the Lord now, the things for eternity. Amen. As opposed to the things of this world. And how important that is, and how much time we spend on the things of the world. How we need to take an account and say, "Wow, am I taking this precious thing called time? Am I employing it out in dedication and devotion on the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I really doing something that's going to count for eternity?" Yeah. People would say, "You're wasting your time." But Jesus is saying, "No, it's a devotion. And for as long as the gospel is preached, like this lady, it'll be for memorial." Somebody said this: "You never know how to live until you figure out what you want written on your tombstone." I thought that was kind of interesting, that thought, because what it basically was saying is that what's important to you, what do you want to be remembered for? Now, it really doesn't matter how we're remembered, but it would be a great blessing to know that people would say, "Well, I don't know what all they did, but I know this: they devoted themselves to the Lord in any occupation and whatever they did. Their devotion was to God. To Jesus Christ." Amen. And so time and the things that God has given us. And how can we ever outgive God for all that He has done for us? Amen. And we use those things. And some of y'all the Lord have blessed with wonderful homes. Use them for God. Amen. And allow God and great things like that. And what the Lord has done. And the Lord will reward you. And I guarantee you. Let me just tell you this as I close. In eternity, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there'll nobody say, "Amen," anything like this: "I wish I hadn't done this for you, Lord." I'm sure that we'll think in our hearts, if we're allowed to do that, "Well, I wish I'd done more. I wish I had poured myself out more for you, Lord Jesus." And in our hearts, and I pray that the Lord will help us to do this like this lady, Mary Bethany, and just break it open and just say, "God, I just want to pour out everything. I want my life to be a living sacrifice unto you, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect, acceptable, perfect will of God." Amen. So pray for us. because this is a big change for the Frampton family. I'm used to just being out there in the park and trying to witness to the Jewish guys and having a great time and going and holding services there. And that's a lot of fun, and we enjoyed it so much. And now we're here, and we want to be used of God to help other people catch the burden to go and to spread the gospel here so that we can. So pray for us. We do it in the right way. Amen.
Can you tell us in a very brief way what led you from secular work into Christian work?
Okay. I was a business manager, and I was really thought that's what God was wanting me to do. But quite simply, it was just the word of God. I would be in things just like this. And I'd be sitting there, and this was the thought in my mind. Lord, if I could take all of this energy that I'm putting in here and put it into the work of Christ, you know, could you use that? And the Lord used to just deal with me about that, and it's just how he dealt with me. And so then we'd go home, and Mary and I would talk about it. And when this is what we would say, wasn't it, Mary? I would tell her, I said, Mary, I want to do more things that count for eternity. I want our children to see us doing more things that count for eternity. And possibly that will affect them to want to do the same thing. And it was that motivated us to do that, Dr. Sachs. And then God did the rest. He closed the factory down and everything else I was with. He didn't leave. Believe me, he did it, boy. I was without a job before I knew it. And I thank the Lord for that. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's great.
Amen.
Where'd you go to school?
Well, again, I don't want to put any laurels on where I went, but my undergraduate was at Furman University. Okay, and that was for business, and then a graduate work at Bob Jones University.
That's good. Well, that's no, you don't have to be ashamed of
that. Oh, I know that. I really thank the Lord because a Jewish man paid my way through Furman University.
Oh, thank you,
Lord. And so God was doing it, and that was the business I got, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Pray for us, please. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much. I wonder if I could ask Brother James and Brother Dwayne to get some offering plates to pass tonight. We still need about $3,000 for our goal of $15,000. And if you would like to participate tonight, this is your opportunity. Now, this is something to get a deacon to try and find an offering plate, because we don't take an offering on Sunday nights, but this is your opportunity. Did you find something, brother? If you can, I've got a hat. All right. Wait a minute. Let's have a prayer first, please. Yeah. We might get more if we pray. All right. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Dr. Yanga, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this ministry, and you own everything to you.
Yeah.
We cannot give you, Lord, and we pray for those to help our missionaries all over the world, so that we could be faith that we have done. We pray that for the power is on you, and you pray that the world all over, and this is what we could do for prayer. So for financial help to our missionaries, we thank you for the effort being done in this church. We thank you for that success and the ministry that is being done. In this name we pray.
Amen. Brother Ed, could you play something on the piano for us during the offering? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your sharing once again. You give that to Casey Kangas so he can tell us how much and be report at the end of the meeting. Thank you. I failed to mention to you this morning that Donna Mesnar went to be with the Lord just last month. I had the letter, but I had the wrong letter this morning. We'll put this up so you can see the note that was sent from her husband. But I just wanted to mention this to you, that although Donna was unable for many, many years to do anything, my wife and I visited them in Brazil. She was a very faithful woman of God. And I will not forget her hospitality to us there and her ability to provide hospitality at a camp and for the ministry for her husband. Thank God for godly women. And I just trust that you will not think that the man is the only person in the family. Behind every godly man is a godly woman who labors with him for the sake of the gospel. And Donna Mesnar was just exactly that. They say she never complained. Her gentle acceptance of her condition and her evident contentment in being with us was inspiring. Now we look ahead to our blessed reunion in the Lord's time, when we too shall be gathered at Jesus' feet according to his promise. We thank all of you who have already known and sent your letters or called by phone to give us comfort. For those who will know because of this letter, we thank you in advance for your prayers in our behalf. God bless you. She was bedfast since 1998 because of due to multiple strokes, which began in 1983. Thank the Lord for that godly woman. Let's pray for the Mesnars, please. Brother Ed, will you pray?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, God. We thank you for the faithfulness, Father, Lord God, of your servants, Lord God. Now, Lord God, so many times we look at these folk and hear about them, Father God, Lord. And, oh, Lord, we thank you, God, for the examples, God, that they set. Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord God, for this dear one, Lord God. We thank you, Father, Lord God, that we know that, Lord, there's no suffering, God, or pain. In the land that's barren today, Father, Lord, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. But Father God, I pray for the ones that are behind, Father, Lord. God, help them, Lord. Lord, may you give them grace. And Father, Lord, may they be able to glorify you during this time. Give them, Father, Lord, an extra measure of glimpse of what lies ahead, Father God, and the joys of heaven. And Father God, I pray, God, now that her testimony will go on, God. And in the lives of, if there are grandchildren or whatever, Father God, Lord, that it may speak to them, God. And they may be provoked to jealousy, Father God, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Be honored and glorified in this, I pray, and comfort in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Brother Buehler, thank you for coming to our conference. But you know, I don't think anybody's heard about your wife. She ought to say something before you speak. Oh, you did in Sunday school? I wasn't there, I'm sorry.
I can't lie, I did not say anything in Sunday school.
You didn't?
And somehow I figured out you might ask me to say something.
I knew you would.
Well, greetings all. This is one of the most delightful church families I have ever been a part of. I could just stay here. You're so warm and loving, and I'm sure Dr. Sachs and Vivian are a big part of that, and Matt and Naomi, who, by the way, some of you know that a number of years ago, Naomi came and stayed in our home, for a period during the summertime in order to teach boys and girls in VBS for RBM Ministries, of which we're a part. And so we became fast friends back then. We, in fact, were here in her parents' home at that time and treated by her wonderful chef father. And hear that they're now a part of this church family. Well, thank you for so gracious, loving treatment. We will leave here just with warm hearts. And I can't think of any place I'd rather be, which of course is always true when you're in God's will, but with a ministry to the boys and girls in our public schools. Which one of you has not had a broken heart over our public school system and the children in it? And so our missionaries are located here in Michigan, and they go into the public schools with parental permission, written and signed and given to the school, take these boys and girls to another location and teach them God's word. Missionaries that my husband and I admire, we feel we're not even worthy to be working with. Sold out to the Lord Jesus, like Dave Kurowicki, you could tell how much he loves God and the children. And I don't know of a more fruitful ministry. Hundreds of these children trust Christ as Savior throughout a season. And also, over half, I would say, my husband knows the statistics, I just don't. But anyway, over half of them are undoubtedly unchurched children. And, you know, unless we come to Christ as a little child, we can't come to Him. And most of us came to Him when we were little children. Thank you so much. Lord bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Joan said that this is a rewarding ministry. I brought a letter. This is a very recent letter. And this gives you an idea of how the children can respond. Now, granted, every child does not write to us, but every child who places their faith in Christ as Savior is immediately enrolled in our follow-up Bible study. It's a correspondence series, and this is a series that has been designed and written by RBM Ministries, and we have two levels of those, and we have a volunteer in our office who responds to all of the mailings and who scores all of these questionnaires that are filled back. Actually, they're questions and answers that the children complete and send back to us, and then the next lesson is sent to them. And she develops a friendship with them. She sends them a picture and writes a nice letter to them and asks them to send a picture of themselves to us. And this is a sample of some of the letters that we receive. Dear RBM Ministries, this is dated February 12th of 2006. I received your Bible you sent me. The CEF Mailbox Club already sent two lessons. Now, this gal is, she's really earnest, that I have completed. But I was wondering if RBM can still send me more lessons. It would be great. I have learned so much, and I don't want to stop. Your class showed me lots that I didn't know, and I don't want to stop this great experience. So I'm trying to say thank you for all that you already have done for me and my learning experience. You have been a godsend. Sincerely, and then her name is Sabrina. And this is typical of what we will get, a number of these every single year. And this little girl trusted Christ as Savior. And then we begin to send her these lessons. She went through both series that we have. She wanted to keep studying. Meanwhile, she got in contact with CEF, and as she said there, she has two letters. And already this year, in our release time Bible classes, we have had a number of children who have trusted Christ as Savior. And it's over 500 right now for this current year. And so it's just a 503 to, according to the statistical sheet that I have here. We also do vacation Bible schools in the summertime, and this is the avenue of ministry in which Naomi Hostef was involved. And I think I may have said this once before, but you didn't get to hear this, Pastor Sachs. We really felt that Naomi was a keeper. And we almost didn't want Matt to get a hold of her so that we couldn't use her.
Yeah, but we were promoting it on this side.
But we are pleased with Naomi being a part of the church here and connected with Matt. And I think you have chosen well for a co-pastor and a successor pastor. Praise the Lord for that. I would like to just read for a moment from the book of Acts. And I won't do very much with this passage of Scripture because I know that there's an RBM missionary working with the children up on the upper level there. And he may not have been prepared for this 45-minute message. So, in Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse numbered 1, Acts 13, verse numbered 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Just a couple of things I would like to say in connection with this. We're involved here in Fellowship Bible Church in a similar situation as they were in what I call Antioch Bible Church there. I know it was a Bible teaching church because of who they had for their teachers. But the interesting thing was there was an emphasis on ministry in that church. Now that word minister there is from a Greek word, latergeo, which has to do with public ministry. They were doing the kinds of things that was noticeable by the rest of the congregation. And the reason I emphasize that is because when God lays his hands upon someone in the local church for missionary work, other ministry endeavor, if the individuals are actively serving in the local church family, and God begins to press on that individual and others in the local church, there will be a unified recognition of the capabilities of the individual, such as your church exercised when they laid hands on Matt and Naomi. They were before you in ministry. Now, in this particular church in Antioch, they had 5 teaching elders or pastors there. And the interesting thing is God took 40% of the leadership of that church and sent them out. I served as a pastor for a number of years. And sometimes it was, even though this was an answer to our prayer, God would take some of the choice servants and he'd move them off to the mission field. And I had my moments where I said, "Oh, Lord, you know, we've just got this youth ministry going and now you're taking this person away." Or, "Oh, we don't want to lose this person." But God would do that. And he always brought others in. The local church, I believe, is the primary place for God to lay his hands upon those whom he would thrust into service. And what was happening here, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, I believe the reason they were fasting was because it was in connection with praying that they were doing. And I'm pretty sure I know what they were praying because we've got a record of their answer to their prayer right here. I think they were praying just like the Lord Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And we need to be praying that. That's the primary, in my mind, missionary recruitment method. It's God ordained. It's local church centered. And it allows us to be involved. There's a little risk in that. Sometimes God says to us prayers, "I want you to be a part of this." And so we get the privilege of serving him that way. I know year after year we had missionary conferences. We had 2 every year in our church. We had a week-long one like this.
which are pretty rare, by the way.
This stand is a little unstable, but the Word of God is not. I'm not going to cover all these notes anyway here. But I know year after year, we would have a week-long one like this, and we'd have a half-week one every time, so we kind of balanced out. But our goal as a local church was very much like you do here. We kept missionary endeavor just before us all the time. We prayed for missionaries. We gave to missions. We just really encouraged this. Short-term mission trips to work in the various fields and so on. Because this is God's program. And so we would do this all the time. And every year, it seems like during the missionary conference, some missionary like Terry Thompson would say, "We need 100 missionaries." And I'd say, "Okay, Lord, I'll be one, you know." And all we do is make ourselves available.
Amen.
Because of missionary conference like this, that I was just challenged to be used of God in service and ended up in Bible Institute, where while I was there studying, I just said, "Okay, Lord, if you can use me to teach the Word, I will do it." I didn't think I was too usable, but the Lord has managed to do that. So they were ministering in the local church, and I challenge you, minister. Be involved, be doing. Not so you can be noticed, so you can serve the Lord, because that's what this passage says. They ministered to the Lord. Not for themselves, not just to meet a need, but because they wanted to serve the Lord.
Amen.
It's very easy in churches for us to slip into attitudes of wanting things our way, making sure just the right songs are sung, just the right scripture is used, and so on, and we want everything done just exactly our way. That's not a proper motive for being in the local church. We're in the local church so we can serve the Lord. That's what was going on here. We're not here to sit and soak it in, and boy, you get good meals in the scriptures here in the sour. We're here to serve. They ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me." Now, this was something that I believe the church recognized. God put his finger on someone, but there was an understanding. I don't know if it was an audible voice at this time. We were in the air of the church where the Spirit of God could have done that had he desired to do so. But for all we know, in the very least, God made this evident. So it wasn't just a snap thing. I believe this is a recognition that came to the surface over a period of time, and God just said, "Okay, these are the two I want right now." And the church agreed. There was unity in the recognition of God's call to these people. And so they agreed with him. You know, in verse 3, it emphasizes they fasted and prayed. They didn't do this overnight. They just simply kept committing this to the Lord, committing these people to the Lord, and asking God to open the way. And finally, they were all ready. And then they did a public recognition and laid their hands on them, not imparting any power to them, but just recognizing, "We're agreeing with you, God. Praise you. Go forth, brethren, with our blessing, with our help." And the reason I want to emphasize this, and I know this is brief, is because that's where we are right now. Now, Joan has mentioned that we think you are a unique and special church. There's a tremendous commitment to the Lord here, which we sense. This morning was a testimony of that. It's thrilling, absolutely thrilling, and may God multiply his word out into this world of need, because even of some of the decisions that were expressed this morning, and God will bring all of this to fruition according to his will in his time, and who knows where he may send us and how he may use us. And of course, as the pastor pointed out, some of us will stay with the stuff. Keep praying, Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. and he will do that. We want you to pray for RBM Ministries. We would like, well, only about a 20th of what our brother Terry is asking. We're praying for 5 missionaries right now for the state of Michigan, because there are so many open doors. Dr. Yangus mentioned tonight about the ministry in the Philippines, but his son has said the county of Livingston, there's hardly any work going on for the Lord there. We would like to put a missionary there. Would you pray for that? Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth missionaries into his harvest. Thank you, Dr. Sachs.
Thank you, brother. Shall we just have a word of prayer, please? Our loving Father, we thank thee for our brother Buer and his wife and for their ministry, the RBM. And we pray that thou would prosper all the missionaries who work with them. We thank thee for David Kurowicki and his dedication to the Lord and his willingness to be amongst us this week. We thank thee and praise thee in the mighty name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Brother Frampton, do we have some more music from you people? Thank you. I know some of the kids were. Yeah, that's fine, yes. All right. Well, they're going there. I just want to say this, too. When I see, tell me if I make the wrong mistake there, the wrong names, but Anna is the oldest one.
Yes, sir.
And then Rachel.
That's correct.
And let's see, then there's Caleb, and there's, he's a little one.
Joshua,
yes. Joshua comes before Caleb.
That's right.
But there's one little,
Rebecca.
That's Rebecca, yeah. But I made a comment to them. I thought it was neat that Anna is so tall, and she's not ashamed to stand there with her family. Some kids, you know, get kind of shy, and they say, "Oh, I'm old now. You guys do the singing. I've grown up now." But that's not here with this family. It's a good spirit. Thank you very much. How'd you manage that?
Sure, I think Mama did most of it.
Did she? Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Now, you didn't tell them who the piano player was who taught your daughter in Johannesburg.
Oh, yes, it was Peter and Hendrina's daughter.
So that's right. And Peter and Hendrina Vaughn came here to preach at Fellowship Bible Church many years ago.
And she was the one that taught Anna.
Yeah, that's great. That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all for coming tonight. I want to report what the Lord has done for us tonight, dear friends. There's $2,430 given tonight. So we have a total of $14,504.21. Praise the Lord. Let's sing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father. Praise Jesus the Son. And give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And give him the glory, great things he has done. Thank you, Brother Chuck. I see you through there. That's good. Are the kids here now? Yeah. Thank you. Listen, will you give me a chance? I like to see them. So, if you just give me put these things up there. Give me a hand in to get over there. Thanks very much. I think I can make it from here. Caleb, Rebecca, Joshua, Rachel, Anna.
the sound of his voice, the sun shone through, and there's nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. There's palm of his hand, yet so small he can live in the heart of a man. It's a mystery, a great mystery, but so true that there's nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. There's nothing, no, nothing. There is nothing that my God can't do. Holds the world in the palm of his hand, yet so small he can live in the heart of a man. It's a mystery, a great mystery, but so true that there's nothing, no, nothing that my God can't do. There's nothing, no, nothing. There is nothing that my God can't do.
That my God can't do. Thanks very much. I'm sure you're glad you came tonight. It's wonderful. Yeah. I don't like to see the missionary conference closed, do you? And I guess that Olivia Lewis doesn't want it to close either. So, but then I expect you folks to produce some music, please, with all the influence you've had this week. Yeah, that's great. Praise the Lord. How good the Lord has been to us. We rejoice. Thank you so much for coming tonight and participating with us. And Dr. Yang, thank you for coming here tonight en route to take care of David. Okay? Thank you. Give him our love and prayers. Thank you so much, dear friends. And Marlon and Martha, thanks for being with us and for Reno didn't come back tonight. You tell him I'm asking about him. And what happened to email? He's not around. He's elsewhere. All right. And Bren? All right. Please give our greetings there. And your daughter, I can't believe she's grown up so much. Never stops. Eh? Yeah. Oh, that's great. And I want to say thank you to all you dear friends who have stepped up to the plate to provide meals and so kindly open your homes for hospitality. We lost out this year, but I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for your kindness and love. This has been 25 years we've had missionary conferences here, and we rejoice in the Lord's goodness and grace and mercy. We thank Him for it. And thank you for your generosity, too. And pray that the remaining amount might come in and that all the expenses will be paid. And each of these missionaries who have been with us will receive $2,000 to take away with them and to be used in their missionary activities and service. They're faithful. They're worthy of everything that we can give them. And we just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. All right. Why don't we stand and sing one more hymn that we did sing this morning? All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. I think you said it was 18, was it, brother? Yeah.